2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 26. Everyone is ready? Let's read it prayerfully. I will be reading it and you just follow with your eyes. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 26. Verse 8. One day, Elisha went on to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to eat some food, so whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat the food. And she said to her husband, "Behold now, I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." Verse 11, one day he came there, and he turned into the chamber and rested there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite." When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, "Say now to her, 'See, you have taken all this trouble for us. What is to be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?'" She answered, "I dwell among my own people." And he said, "Then what then is to be done for her?" Gehazi answered, "Well, she has no son and her husband is old." He said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And he said, "At this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord. O man of God, do not lie to your servant." But the woman conceived, and she bore a son about the time the following spring, as Elisha had said to her. Verse 18, when the child has grown, he went out one day to his father among the reapers. And he said to his father, "Oh, my head, my head." The father said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had lifted him and brought him to his mother, the child sat on her lap till noon, and then he died. Verse 21, and she went up and laid him on the bed on the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys, that I may quickly go to the man of God and come back again." And he said, "Why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." She said, "All is well." Then she saddled the donkey and she said to her servant, "Urge the animal on, do not slacken, and pace for me unless I tell you." So she sat out and came to the man of God at the Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Look, there is the Shunammite." Verse 26, "Run at once to meet her and say to her, 'Is all well with you? Is all well with your husband? Is all well with the child?'" And she answered, "All is well." May the good Lord bless the reading of his word.
Just remain standing and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we once again praise and thank you for you are holy. You are great, O God. Help us, Lord, to see the beauty of your holiness as we worship you this morning. Father, we ask for your blessings. We ask for your guidance, Lord, as your servant will be delivering the message this morning. Use your word, Lord, to encourage your people, to challenge them, remind them, and to be faithful, O God. Use the message, and may the truth, Lord, and only you will be magnified in our midst. Thank you so much, Lord, for this day, special day wherein we recognize, we praise the mothers, O God, for their sacrifice, their love, and everything they've done, Lord, for their families. Continue to bless them with good health. Continue to bless them with strength and courage, Lord, to continue to do their task, Lord. Bless them, O Father, that would be able to nurture their children in the knowledge of you and in the fear of you, Lord. Bless them, O Father. Thank you so much for everything. For the mothers, this is our prayer. In Christ's name, amen. Kindly be seated. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who are here. Amen. Let me give you some trivia on Mother's Day. You know, in the United States alone, around 122 million phone calls are made to mom on Mother's Day. 122 million. While Mother's Day is the busiest day for phone calls, Father's Day is the busiest day for collect calls. Probably this is the time when this story was conducted, but during the time when there was no cell phone yet, no data. Yep. So that's how your children love the mothers. You know what? The oldest woman to deliver a baby, according to OSR.org, she was able to deliver a baby on April 9, 2003. Her name is Satyabhama Mahapatra. She was 65 years old, retired school teacher in India. She gave birth to a baby boy. So, if you are 65 years old younger, you don't lose hope. You will soon become a mother. No. Biblically, in Sarah, how old was Sarah when she gave birth to Isaac? 90, and Abraham was 100 years old. Anyway, our text for today is 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 26. So we will not read the passage, which is we already read that verse. Both Ripley's Believe It or Not and Guinness Book of World Records give a list annually of great women of the world. They divide their list into categories, and women who excelled in these categories get their names listed on these books. Among them is Kanchana Kitkao. She was called the Scorpion Queen because she lived in a glass box for 32 days with 3,400 scorpions, and she survived. She was called great in the secular world. Ella Ewing of Missouri, the tallest woman, she measured 8 feet and 4 inches tall. It's a center in NBA. Hang Thu Thi Nguyen of Vietnam, she was called most accurate archer because she can hit bullseye 5 meters away using her feet. Great. Another woman, Marita Gunter, widest range female boy, she can sing 7 1/4 octaves. Can you imagine 7 1/4 octaves? Just to give you an idea, a most classical singer, professionally trained classical singer, can sing only 3 octaves. I don't know, I think our choir can sing 3 octaves. They are professionally trained by our music directors. But even Celine Dion, she can sing only like between 3 to 5 octaves. It varies. Vicky Kitt of Canada, the endurance swimmer of Canada, she can stay in the water 129 hours, 45 minutes. That's 5 days, 9 hours, 45 minutes in the water. Try to imagine. And the world called them great. Guinness Book of Record, Ripley's Believe It or Not, great. But in the Bible, there are also women whose names were mentioned and their great accomplishments. Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, she was called great. Mary, the sister of Martha, her name will be remembered even until today. She was great. In Hebrews chapter 11, in the hall of faith or the heroes of faith, there's only one woman there mentioned. Sarah was mentioned, but it was in accordance to Abraham. But actually, there was only one. Who was that? Rahab, the prostitute. She was called great, and she was the only woman there in Hebrews chapter 11. Great woman. And that's her legacy. But you know what? This godly woman in our text, the Shunammite woman, she was nameless. I don't know why the author, Prophet Jeremiah, never bothered himself to write the name of this woman. He just wrote, Shunammite woman. No name. We will wait until we get to heaven to find it out. What's her real name? Although she was anonymous, yet she was able to leave a legacy. An ordinary woman with extraordinary accomplishment. Remember, the word of God never mentioned that she was from a royal family. Never. It was mentioned there, Shunammite woman. No indication that she has great rank or high social status. She was not endowed with great knowledge or skill. She was not strikingly beautiful. Maybe she's beautiful. Not striking. You know what? When the Bible describes somebody who is beautiful, it's very specific. Job's three daughters. When the word of God mentioned Job's three daughters in Job 42:15, it says there, and in all the land, no women were found so beautiful as Job's daughters. So beautiful. You know Bathsheba? In 2 Samuel? No wonder David was so attracted with her. It says there, and she was very beautiful to look upon. Very beautiful. Now, by the way, let's have some Bible trivia. What are the names of Job's daughters? The three most beautiful women in the Bible. What are their names? Anybody? You know what? Most of Christians, they know who's the most beautiful in Forbes magazine. But they don't know who's the most beautiful. Who's who in the Bible? Who's the tallest? Who's the shortest? Who's the most wealthy person? Nobody. Nobody's interested. Emma, Keziah, Karen Hapoch. Are you familiar with those names? She was not a great leader. The Shunammite woman is not a great leader or judge like Deborah. She was not a mother of a child who became great like Hannah or Samuel or Jochebed for Moses. No. But our text mentions here that she is great. Let's read this verse. I will use the King James Version. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. It's like this. The word of God says in verse 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Other translations use the word prominent, wealthy. But the word there in Hebrew, it used the word gadol. Gadol. It was used 397 times in the Old Testament, which means great or noble. That's the exact word there in the original word. Although he was prominent, true, wealthy, probably she was wealthy. But that's the exact word there. Great woman. And that's the reason why we need to study about her. Because we can imitate the reasons, same reasons for greatness that characterize her life. A great woman who leave a legacy. This morning I want to share to you this Mother's Day sermon entitled as A Great Woman of God. There are three observations here I would like to share to you. Why this woman was called great. First of all, this woman was called great because she has that godly discernment. Godly discernment. In verse 9 to 10, and she said to her husband, behold, now I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there. She showed her discernment here by when she said that Elisha was a holy man of God. It says there, behold, now I know. I perceive. And then after that, after she perceived, she said, let us do something. There's action. Discernment first, and then there's something. The Shunammite woman discerned that Elisha was a fellow believer of the Lord. This man, I know that he has a ministry, preaching the message of God, God's will and his way. I know this man is a messenger of God's word, and I want to keep this man. I want to help this man. I want to be part of his ministry because this man is a worker of God. I will support him. And that's why she said, let us together with her husband. What a great discernment, godly discernment. Many people may have been passing by her house every day, but she has the spiritual discernment to know the difference between a holy man of God and a wicked man. That's discernment. Godly women of God must know what is helpful and what is harmful to their families. Are you that kind of mother or woman? Discernment. Discernment to know the kind of activities to do, the kind of people to fellowship with. I hope we will examine whether, first we will examine it, activities or the people we fellowship, we will examine it whether it glorifies the Lord or not. Our culture today is different, but there is still the need and application of this principle today. Believers, we need to open our homes literally, or shall we say, welcome in our family activities that honors God. Any activities. What are those? Bible studies, for example. Cell group meetings. Christian fellowships. And even literally, to open our homes for the visiting missionaries and speakers. Fellowship with brethren. Know those things that are harmful, and determine also those things that are helpful to your families and capitalize on it. Having a godly discernment, this woman was interested in promoting the preaching of the word through Elisha. She's not preaching the word, she's not a prophet, but Elisha was, and so she helped Elisha. She was also concerned for God's work and the workers of God through her support and her involvement. Her actions here illustrate the principle of the body functioning together with every believer, using their gifts, talents, and resources to promote the evangelization of the lost and edification of the saints. This is in the Old Testament. But the same God that we are serving now. This principle is applicable to us. The message in the Old Testament was what? Repentance and faith. The same. God uses prophets in the Old Testament. God uses message pastors, elders, missionaries to deliver those words. The words of God. In our context today, let's use the gifts that God has bestowed upon us and share the good things that He gave us. Time, talent, or treasure. Francis Chan, the author of the book Multiply, the one that we use in our discipleship program, he said, "The church will never reach this goal, the goal to grow, unless each part of the body is working properly. We all have responsibility. If you are not active in the church, you are hurting your brothers and sisters. One paralyzed leg forces the rest of the body to work twice as hard to make up for that leg's inactivity." Do you agree with him? you deprive the body of Christ the service that God desires you to do. You hurt the body. It's a very strong word, but it is true. You are hurting your brothers because of your inactivity. You do not get involved. Some people are working double or triple because it's supposedly your part. It's not the part, the job of the deacons or the pastor. It's you. GBC is a local body of Christ. Try to imagine this. We have a universal body of Christ, but GBC is a local body, and we are all members of this body. And God expects you, because God has gifted you. No believer has no gift. At least you have one, two, or three. At least one. And that means you have that responsibility to do your part. And if you are not doing your part, you are just watching, observing others, not like the Shunammite woman when she saw Elisha doing the ministry, she get involved. Use her everything. Capacities, resources, time. You know what? This prophet, Elisha, stayed in her home until the boy, I don't know how old was he when he died, because he was his chamber. The house in the chamber on the rooftop was still there. It's not just one day or 2 weeks or a month. Was there for so long until the boy grew up. She got involved in the ministry. Promote the word, support the work, and the workers of God. A few weeks from now, our missions team will go to the Philippines. They need your help, your prayer, your encouragement, and of course, even your financial support. You may not probably be able to join with them in the front line of sharing the message, but you can do your part like the Shunammite woman. He was helping Elisha by her involvement and her support. If you want to become great in the eyes of God, ask the person beside you. Brother, sister, do you want to become great in the eyes of God? Ask him, her. And the answer is yes. Get involved. Get involved. This woman is an example here. This is, I said, in the Old Testament. But the principle, you know, the Old Testament was written according to Corinthians for our example. For our Corinthians, that's an example for us. The same. We are the same God. This is a story, a narrative, but this is the same principle that we need to imitate, to learn something from the prophets of the old, from the great men and women of God in the Old Testament. Why she was called great? Because this woman has a godly discernment. The second reason why this woman was called great. Second, because she was blessed with contentment. Blessed with contentment. Contentment is one of God's greatest blessings, while discontentment is one of man's greatest sins. Elisha has been staying in this little room for quite some time, and one day he showed his appreciation by telling her that he knows some people and he can help her get anything she wants, even favor from the king and even the commander of the army. Right? You can read this in verse 11 to 13. Now, if you will be given this offer, what will you do? What will you ask? What will you ask for? Opportunity knocks only once, and if we were there, we might give suggestions. If we were there, we might give suggestions to the Shunammite woman. Shunammite woman, ask for a job in the palace. Or maybe you will ask for, put your name in the king's payroll. Or maybe you will say, make you a part of the king's staff. But how about, if this happens to you, what will you ask for? You will be given the chance to ask Prime Minister Trudeau. And let's say anything you will ask will be given. What will you ask? Or President Trump of US, what will you ask? You want to build a wall? You want to build a mansion surrounded with a wall? Huh? Or you want a big bank account? What will you ask for? You're given the chance. This woman was asked, anything you want. I have the privilege to go to the king or to the commander of the army to ask something, maybe anything you request. But you know what? It's very interesting. Notice the answer of the one in verse 13. Very simple. It's like, how many words? 6 words. I dwell among mine own people. She did not even elaborate it. And I think Gehazi and Elisha was able to grasp what's her point in saying, I dwell among my own people. That's it. It's like saying, I appreciate your offer, sir or sirs, but I have a home. My basic needs are provided for. I don't think of anything that I really need. She was just contented and she has peace. Right? She was content with her home, her friends, her ministry, by helping Elisha. What a rare attitude. She knew and believed she was where God wanted her, and with that, she was content. Content. She was blessed with contentment. You know, we live in a society today where everyone wants to have more, more, and more. They're like singing, I can get no satisfaction. Very laughing. Sounds familiar, right? I can get no. You know, according to philosophers, man is insatiable by nature. Do you agree with that? Probably, if you do not have Christ in you, you are insatiable by nature. But according to the Word of God, no. In the New Testament, Paul gives us the secret to being content. Know that? What's the secret of being content? It's actually a perspective, a frame of mind. It's an outlook. Let's read Philippians chapter 4, 11 to 12. Not that I am speaking of being in need, this is Apostle Paul, for I have learned, look at the word here, learned, past tense, in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and in every circumstance, I have learned, again, this is in the past tense, the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Whatever situation, whatever circumstance, plenty or hunger, abundance and need, he learned to be content. That's a perspective, right? Take note, where was Apostle Paul when he penned this letter? He was imprisoned in Rome. He was not living in a mansion, having beautiful car, big bank account. He was there in prison, suffering. He was there under house arrest. But take note, what's the theme of this book? The key word there is joy and rejoice. 20 times in this book, Apostle Paul mentioned these words, rejoice and joy. That's why he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's very unusual for a person who is in prison, suffering, but encouraging those people who are free. Why? Because of that perspective. Paul was blessed with contentment, the same with this woman. Blessed. Are you blessed with contentment? Are you sure? Contentment has nothing to do. Take note of this, brothers and sisters. Contentment has nothing to do with what you can still passively have. Contentment is being thankful for what you already have. Huh? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. It's not what you don't have, but it's there. Thank the Lord and use it for His glory. John Fope, or I don't know how to read his name, John Fope or John Fope, he was an armless, literally armless man, a motivational speaker, preaching, motivating students, different campuses in U.S. He said, if you do not have the best of everything, then make the best of everything you have. He was armless, but he was thankful to the Lord and challenging all the students. If you do not have the best, then make the best of everything that you have. Contentment is an inner peace that comes from being right with God and knowing that He is in control of everything. If God grants us material comforts, we can thankfully enjoy them, but also we need to use it for His purpose by blessing others. I believe contentment plays a very important role in the way we deal with others, because we cannot show generosity, hospitality without contentment. The Shunammite, do you think the Shunammite woman, if she was not blessed with contentment, she will help Elisha and build a house, build a chamber on the rooftop? No way. It's because of her contentment. She was generous and hospitable. A person that is covetous will not give anything away, because they always think of themselves. Me, I, myself, and I. They have this what we call I problem. Not I, but I problem. Let's go back to the culture, manners, and custom of the story. You know, in ancient times, there were no hotels or inns. Those who traveled were dependent upon the hospitality of the people of the land during their time. Especially the prophets who traveled from place to place. But this woman discerned that while Elisha was so busy ministering to the spiritual needs of others, he had special needs of his own. Right? That is why every time Elisha would pass by her home on his travels, she urged him to stop and eat with them and even to stay with them. And the more she did this, the greater she became aware of his needs. Because she was available and willing to help the prophet, as a result, she became a source of encouragement and comfort to Elisha, who, for the most part, was ministering in a hostile, in idolatrous environment. But this woman and her family was like an oasis in the desert. This woman, together with her husband, because of that discernment and because of that contentment, they became like oasis in the desert for Elisha and his servant Gehazi. She did this while she had the opportunity. She did not procrastinate. She used her blessings for blessing others. Seizing the opportunities, redeeming the time. We are reminded in Ephesians chapter 5. Be wise. Arise, thou sleepers. Get involved. Have that discernment. That's what Christianity is for. We are blessed by the Lord to be a blessing to others. We are blessed spiritually. We are blessed by the Lord materially. I hope we are convinced with that. Spiritually, no question. All the spiritual blessings were given to us in heavenly places. Materially, you know that. Compare yourself with people in other places. Back home. Here, you have... You are living abundantly. If you just meditate on those things, recall on those things, you are so blessed. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. So then, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. It is very interesting here that the text does not give us her name. But it takes time to identify the specific items of furniture in the room. Did you notice that? Look at verse 10. You mentioned there, bed, table, chair, a lamp. You know, women really are very detail-oriented. There's a build a room, a chamber. They mention the details of it. But her name was not mentioned. Good thing that they never mentioned the brand of the lamp and the chair and the table and the bed. It was there. Very specific. What's the point here? What's my point? Because the name of the woman, Shunammite woman, was not mentioned. The point there is, people may not have taken notice of what she did to Elisha, but God did. Right? We often struggle today with service because we think that it has to be some great act. If it's not something great, if it's not worth the effort, if there's no audience to cheer us, we stop. If nobody will appreciate us, we stop. If there's nobody to check on us, we stop. But this woman, nobody noticed it, probably. That she's inviting Elijah and Gehazi, and she has a secret room there on the rooftop. She continued, that's what I said, until the boy grew up, I don't know what, until what age. She continued. You know, God wants us to be faithful and to remain faithful in serving Him, even if we are doing the most simple task. Or even if we are the only ones left serving, or even if no one is looking. The most menial task in the ministry that nobody will notice you, nobody will appreciate. Continue. Be faithful in serving the Lord, whatever ministry that you are involved in. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love for which you have showed toward His name. God will not forget your labor of love. I guarantee you. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water, just a cup of cold water, to one of these little ones who is my disciple, I truly tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. People will not notice, but God will. Even the most secret things, the smallest thing that you will do for the Lord. Because of her contentment, she was able to show hospitality, generosity. Then one thing I notice here, one observation. Because of that contentment, she was also able to submit to her husband. Don't worry, I will not expound more on this because I know some of you still feel the impact of the powerful message last Sunday, but this is just an observation. Because of that, you know, because some wives, because they are discontent, it's hard for them to submit, right? Because of pride. They want to overpower. They forget to understand the will of the Lord about submission. Let's take a look at verse 10. Verse 10. 2 Kings 4:10. I will use King James Version here. Let us make a little chamber. I pray thee. She was talking to her husband. I pray thee on the wall and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. I love the word here. I pray thee. That's a sign of humility, submission. She has the desire, she has that plan, and she asked the permission. She made a request to her husband. I pray thee. And then the word there, let us. He cometh to us. She's not making decisions by her own. Her husband is always there. In fact, the word there, I pray thee, I ask thee. This woman is a submissive woman. If she was here last Sunday, she will be clapping. Preach it, Pastor. That's it. Huh? Do you agree with this? That she was content, blessed with contentment? I pray thee. That's a proof. And that's an example for us today. New Testament believer. She was an Old Testament believer. For the new, the same. The same principle. Serving, the same. Supporting the ministry, the workers, the work, and the word of God, the same. Although it's the different setting. She was blessed with contentment. That's why she was called great. She was called great because she has godly discernment. She was blessed with contentment. And the last, but not the least, she was able to comprehend God's refinement. Google defines the term refine as having any unwanted elements removed by processing. In first Peter says here that even gold it perishes. And your faith is more precious than gold. It needs to be refined. It's more precious. First Peter chapter 1, verse 7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The boy that the woman received from God died, but her response here was very interesting. Instead of arranging for funerals, usually, normally the Jews will, after 24 hours, they will bury their dead. But notice here in verse 21, she placed him, her son, on Elisha's bed. The bed was still there, on the rooftop. She believed that it's a proof that this woman believed that God could raise her son from the dead. She has that faith. Faith. Instead of arranging funerals, she laid the boy in Elisha's room on bed. You know, in the Bible, there are others whose faith was refined. One of them is Abraham when he offered Isaac. You have Joseph when he was sold by his brothers to Egypt, sold a slave. Daniel, he was put to the den. Lion's den. And also Job, everything was taken from him. Health, his flock, even his friends, and his children, everything. Yet none of them turned their backs on God. This is exactly the way we should respond to God at times of refinement. We must not complain, turn our backs on God, but instead fully submit ourselves to God's authority and allow Him to refine our faith. And when we do it, He will honor and reward us. Understand God's providence. You know the word providence? It's a two-word, pro-video. You see before, video. God sees it in advance. That means God is in control and God has a purpose on it. All you need to do is to comprehend that that is a God's refining process for you. When her husband asked her why she was going to see the prophet, in verse 23, she said, all is well. Or in another translation, everything is all right. When Gehazi asked her later on verse 26, she answered, everything is all right. All is well. All is well. Two times she answered, all is well. But was everything all right? Was everything well? All well? I don't think so. her only son died in her arms. Was she lying when she answered that, when she said everything is all right? Was she lying? No. She was able to say all is well because she has that bold and unshakable faith. It was the confident expression of her faith in the sovereignty and power of God. Comprehend God's refinement. I would like to share to you the story of Horatio Spafford. He was a member, a devout member of the church in Chicago, pastored by Dwight L. Moody. Are you familiar with D.L. Moody? Right? Horatio Spafford was a successful Christian lawyer and a businessman in Chicago with a lovely wife, with a lovely family and her wife, Anna, and with five children. However, Horatio Spafford's family were not strangers to tears and tragedy. Their young son died with pneumonia in 1871. And in the same year, much of their business was lost in the Great Chicago Fire. His son died, and there was a fire which took all their resources. Yet God, in His mercy and kindness, allowed the business to flourish once more. On November 21, 1873, the French ocean liner Bill de Hoover was crossing the Atlantic from U.S. to Europe with 313 passengers on board. Among the passengers were Mrs. Anna Spafford and their four daughters. Although Horatio had planned to go with his family, he found it necessary to stay in Chicago to help solve an unexpected business problem. So he told his wife that he would join her and their children in Europe a few days later. His plan was to take another ship. Their purpose in going to Europe was to help Dwight L. Moody and Ira Sankey doing the evangelistic meeting. After about 4 days into the crossing of Atlantic, the Bill de Hoover collided with Scottish ship Loch Earn. Within approximately 12 minutes, Bill de Hoover slipped beneath the dark waters of the Atlantic, carrying with it 226 of the passengers, including four Spafford children. Horatio Spafford booked passage on the next available ship and left to join his grieving wife. With the ship about 4 days out, the captain called Horatio to his cabin and told him they were over the place where his children went down. And during that time, while Horatio was looking over the water where his daughters went down, he said, "All is well. All is well." And somebody said that during that journey, Horatio Spafford wrote the song entitled, "It Is Well With My Soul." Are you familiar with that song? "It Is Well With My Soul." The same. The Shunammite woman, God took her only son. She was able to say, "All is well." Why? Because she was able to comprehend God's refinement. Horatio Spafford, "All is well." That's the only time you can say those words if you have that faith in our Lord. Understand the sovereignty and the power of God that everything will happen to us. It will work for good to those who love Him with a purpose to refine us, to produce fruits, fruit of the Holy Spirit, to become like Christ, to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Are you familiar with the gospel song, "Trust His Heart"? Trust His Heart. I love the lyrics of that song. It says there, "God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. And if you don't understand, if you don't see His plan, if you can't trace His hand, trust His." trust his heart. If we have faith in God, if we trust him, we can turn over to him all our fears and doubts and dreams and hopes, even our problems. This is the reason why this woman was called great. Because this woman, she has godly discernment. Second, she was blessed with contentment. And lastly, she was able to comprehend God's refinement. A great woman of God is a GBC woman. Are you a GBC woman? With that kind of character or blessings that God gave her. Let's bow our heads and close in prayer.